Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Tickle. It's quarter number three, and that means it is time to Ask Greg. This is where we have Greg answer your Penn State football and recruiting questions. And if you want to submit a question, you could download our free app from the App Store. Just search on Keystone Sports, or you could also email us at info@ksnsports.net. After the segment, we will select the best question. The winner will receive the highly coveted KSN polo shirt. So, you know, Greg, you can't buy these shirts anywhere. You have to earn it with a great question. So let's get to those questions. Let's start with Frank from Warminster. And he asked, Greg, why hasn't Penn State gotten any recruits from Pennsylvania powerhouse St. Joe's Prep since John Reed? Is there an issue with the staff at the school or something up there?
No, I don't think so. I just think that, you know, the last couple of guys who came out of there kind of had their mind made up where they wanted to go. It's seemingly long before the recruiting process really even started, and I don't even think Penn State had much of a chance there. So, you know, and of course we're talking about Kyle McCord, the quarterback, Marvin Harrison Jr., the receiver, both go to Ohio State, while Jeremiah Trotter Jr. ends up, I believe, at Clemson. So, I mean, those guys committed pretty early, never backed away from their decision. I mean, they kind of knew exactly what they wanted to do from the start. So, I don't think it's a problem there. I think those guys just decided they wanted to go somewhere that wasn't Penn State long before, you know, there was time for them to put pen to paper and sign a national letter of intent. And now, like we talked about in the last segment, there are some very good players there now and in future cycles, and Keenan Nelson, the corner, will be one to watch.
You know, a lot of times, Greg, we as fans look at things like this, a player that makes the decision very quick to go to Ohio State or somewhere else, and immediately the question is, well, why didn't Penn State do more to get him? You got to remember, it's a two-way street. You know, the player right. may have some inclination towards Ohio State or Clemson. He may not be a Penn State fan. Just because we are doesn't mean every kid in Pennsylvania is also a Penn State fan. So you got to remember that. Okay, let's see what's next. How about Jason in Quakertown? And Jason says, do you see the transfer portal activity increasing year after year? In, say, 10 years, could you see 25 transactions a year instead of the 7 to 10 that we see now? Could major programs start to recruit to build a more balanced team with more 2 and 3 stars who are less likely to look for greener pastures?
No. You know, again, I just think the transfer portal is a reality we all kind of have to live with and accept and realize that some years it's going to be good to you, some years it's going to be bad to you, and some years it'll probably be a net gain of nothing. I mean, I don't think you start taking 2 and 3 stars who don't want to play, you know, can't play at the highest level just to appease the transfer portal. I think that's a recipe for total disaster. So, no, I don't think so. And do I think the number of transfer portal movements will increase? I mean, it's an interesting question. Starting with the biggest one of all, is the NCAA going to pass that one-time transfer exception rule that would allow anyone to move one time as an undergrad without having to sit out a year? So, you know, that's something that needs to be figured out and decided before, you know, we can get a lot further into the portal. But I do think we're going to end up seeing a ton of change both at Penn State and across the country, and they'll have the opportunity to recruit guys from other schools in the portal, of course, to fill a need either immediately or for depth or for things like that. So Penn State's portal approach has evolved. The way players use the transfer portal is probably going to evolve. But no, you want to keep getting the best recruits you can. And obviously, we believe in the star ratings. But sometimes you find those 3-star gems. Penn State's been very good at that, too, and that'll help. But, you know, I don't think you want to change your high school recruiting approach just because of the portal.
And I don't believe you can just blanket statement say, oh, the lesser star guys are less likely to hit the transfer portal. You know, a player at Penn State, whether he's, even if he's a, I say only a, a three-star. If he's stuck behind someone and thinks he should be able to play, he's going to take a look at the portal if he thinks there's greener pastures there. The other question, though, I have for you, Greg, related to this, do you think there might be a more of a tendency, though, to recruit regionally for a school like Penn State as opposed to nationally? At least it seems to me like the players who are from out of the region are less likely to either stay committed to Penn State, or they also seem more likely to hit the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's a fair question, Jim. I think there's something to be said there, but I'm not sure the trend that we've seen initially is going to be something that holds up long term. I think it'll end up being a mixture of guys closer to Penn State, further from Penn State. You know, I know it's kind of lopsided right now, but I do think the numbers will eventually balance themselves out. And just one more point on the idea of, you know, going to 2 and 3 stars. I mean, which you're never going to take a 2-star. If you do, it better be a kicker. But you know, the problem with that idea is if those guys can't play at a high level out of Penn State, then they're going to hit the portal too and go down. I mean, I don't want to be rude, but look at Judge Culpepper, for example. I mean, he's a guy who I thought personally, and he was a 4-star recruit, and I thought he was going to be very good at Penn State. It didn't materialize, and now he's at Toledo, which obviously is not the Big Ten. So, you know, that's the other thing you run into. So you want to keep getting as good of players as you can. Don't worry about the portal. If a guy wants to move on, then he's going to move on. There's nothing you can do about it. James Franklin, talking to Mike Farrell of Rivals not too terribly long ago, more or less said that, you know, they're not going to endlessly re-recruit their roster over and over again. You either want to be a Nittany Lion or you don't. And if you think there's something better out there for you, they're going to sit down and discuss it with you, and they're going to support you. I think James Franklin's been very clear about all of that since his time at Penn State started. But, you know, I don't think they're going to sit there and beg kids to stay. I really don't. If you don't want to be in state college and you want to try something else, you know, I think they're going to say more times than not, you know, go ahead, go find it for you. Go improve your situation if you think that's what needs to be done.
And I do think that there may be an effect on recruiting where you want to find that kid who is totally committed to the program. Next up is Brad from Perkasie, who says, Greg, you are the expert, and I'm always grateful for all your insight. With that being said, should Penn State think about the possibility of moving Zach Kuntz to defensive end? That kind of question.
Yeah, that's a new one, sure. I guess it's possible, but I don't think it's probable. I mean, he's had a bit of a tough time keeping weight on since he got to Penn State. That was a problem coming out of high school that was pretty well discussed by him and those around him in Penn State. And so, you know, I think he struggled a bit to keep weight on at tight end, and I think he did to an extent last year. But, you know, I don't know if that's the position move for him. I get the idea, though, especially with the way the numbers are at defensive end, but I don't see that being a solution that really helps Penn State. I don't.
I guess I never thought of Zach Kuntz as having a defensive end's body. Let's see. Next up is Bill from Easton. And Bill says, how much do you think the lack of stability in the coaching staff over the last couple years contributed to the misses on the recruiting trail?
Yeah, I mean, you can't, really put a dent in that. It, you know, I think it hits the nail right on the head. The staff changes hurt. But you know what? We've got some questions, Jim, lately, and I've seen some stuff on Twitter. People say, well, Alabama has staff turnover all the time, and they were fine. Or Michigan had a bunch of staff changes, and things turned out okay with them. Or Ohio State lost blah, blah, blah to Texas, and they were okay, you know. So I think, you know, you can cite it as a problem to an extent, and you can say that it doesn't help to an extent, and it does. But remember back in the middle of the year, Jim, or it might have been the middle of the regular season, 2020 just runs together now. I think we're all kind of on the same page there. So I don't have the exact timeline in front of me, but when he went on that big long rant about we're not getting the job done and we're not recruiting up to our standards, I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, you can talk about pandemic and no visits and coaching staff changes and this and that and the other thing, but ultimately they got to get the job done. That starts with hiring guys who can recruit and are going to stay here for a while and not job hop, and obviously get promotions come up. And, you know, in the case of a Tim Banks, for example, you're not turning down $1.2 million or $1.3 million to go call the plays at Tennessee when you're a co-defensive coordinator at Penn State not making that much. Tyler Bowen, You are not missing a chance to work for Urban Meyer in the NFL. And, oh, by the way, it probably doesn't hurt that he doesn't have to recruit in that role, even though he was very good at it. So some of this is just normal attrition and unavoidable. Some of it was just bad decisions. I mean, you look back at some, like, you know, David Corley, for example, very nice man, but he didn't fit what Penn State wanted, and you just wonder why James Franklin hired him. Kirk Shiraka, I mean, seemed like a very nice guy. We didn't really get to know him all that well, but it didn't, you know, James talked when he hired Mike Yurcich about getting back to what we want to be, and it's like, well, why would you hire a guy who couldn't do what you want to do? So that never made any sense to me. So all told, I mean, I think they have some things that they can say were problems and things that they can point to and you know, not, you know, they can put some, you know, they can use those as a crutch to an extent. But I do agree that the staff turnovers hurt them in recruiting. But ultimately, staff turnover or not, you got to get the job done, get the prospects you're supposed to get the prospects you've known for a long time. And they've had some success with that and some not of late. And more than anything else, as we always talk about, it comes back to winning.
And coaching turnover is just part of the process. You lose your tight end coach, and one of your tight end recruits decommits. Who knows, though? Maybe you're going to get a different tight end coming in. Shiraka leaves. Yurcich comes in. Maybe there are recruits that Yurcich is connected to that would have never come otherwise. So it does work both ways.
Right.
Next up is Jim in Syracuse, who says, in 2020, we heard James Franklin's separation from family may have had a negative impact on his performance. Is there an update on his family situation come 2021? I think that's all mostly up in the air, isn't it?
That's
still, Greg, like the rest of the world?
Yeah, I was going to say, just like everything else in life right now, it's up in the air for sure. I mean, I think, look, we know that he would love to get them back to State College, that he wants to reunite with them. As far as I understood it from his end-of-season news conference, Jim, he's back here in Pennsylvania. They're still down south, wherever. So I do not believe they're back together yet, but, you know, I'm sure they're working on trying to figure all that out. It's not easy. There's a lot of things that have to be done and get done. So we'll see how that all works out, Jim. But I would be surprised if they're not back together. Hopefully, keep our fingers crossed for their sake by the time the 2021 season kicks off.
All right, one last question I'm going to sneak in, and I'll answer it. Steve from Chicago asked Jim and Greg, longtime listener, wondering, based on the expansion into the other markets for the KSN, just how many people listen to your KSN football podcast? Keep up the great work. Gee, I do not know. There are some numbers we can get exactly from our podcast. Amazingly enough, in a lot of the radio markets, there's no exact, like, Nielsen ratings that they subscribe to, so we don't know, but we do know that number is growing. All right, that's it for Ask Greg. Stick around. We're going to talk transfer portal next segment. It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates, and the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.